It's the Tiltcast, episode 615. I've got wings.
And this week, we talk about Dawnfall.
Wow.
Going back to Death Stranding.
Wow.
And Rusty going back to World of Warcraft. Stay tuned.
I've got wings, bitch.
Slippery slopes.
It's just crack. And we're back.
Woo-hoo. Whoa. Oh, my God. Wow.
It's the Tiltcast.
Super excited. Can't you tell?
Yeah, it's Sunday, the 30th of March in 2025. Balmy 59 degrees. It's an M-rated show. I'm Nos.
I'm Jason.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm rusty.
Yeah.
It is 37 degrees, and it has been monsooning here all day long to the point where the front lawn is flooded, and I'm starting to think I might need to sandbag the door.
Well, so, it's also late because we started late, and this is 100% my fault.
8 o'clock my time. You rat bastard.
You know how much Rusty loves his beauty sleep?
I need it. I need every second of it.
I do too.
So it's all right. It's all right. Today's been kind of a sleepy day. It's just been like really, really rainy here, and I get going on something, and then you can hear the rain falling outside, and your eyes start to droop, and I've already had myself a nap today, so I really can't do much when it's monsooning outside, so at least it's not snowing. I feel like This amount of rain is going to kickstart the trees into budding, and then maybe, just maybe, it won't snow again. Maybe. But it is 37 degrees, so there are places in Michigan that have been getting this monsoon, only they've also gotten the northern draft, so it is freezing rain. And there's massive trees are down all over the place. There's, people without power. When Michigan does weather, man, she definitely doesn't pull any punches. But yeah, been a fantastic couple weeks, I'd say. Couple weeks, I guess. Surviving, doing the whole life thing. But yeah, it's been cool. How about you guys? What's been up with you, Jay?
I mean, I did hang out the last couple of nights with an old friend, my friend TJ. I don't know if he's ever been on the show. Talked about him a lot. He's here from Alaska. It's 3,700 miles away.
Damn.
So
that's a lot of walking.
Yeah. We have discovered it is not ideal to drive, as it takes over 70 hours. And that's if there's no delays in the Canadian highway that connects the north to Alaska is not real well maintained. So if there's inclement.
He drove?
No, he flew. It's a 15-hour flight.
I mean, that's a hell of a road trip, but
it's still a 15-hour flight. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
Now
I'm sitting here thinking, do I want to fly that?
Yeah, you'd absolutely want to fly. It's it's like 16 hours or 18 hours, I think, from Seattle. Like, that just gives you any idea of how freaking far Alaska is from everywhere else in the United States.
Yes.
This is crazy. But, yeah, we hung out. Had some beers the other night. And then last night went out to a dinner at a place called Prime that's spelled wrong in Tulsa that is incredibly expensive.
Prime, is that the place that like only allows certain number of people to come in, or is there's a couple places like that?
I'm not sure.
Exclusive steakhouses.
I'm not sure. It's right across the street from Mexicali, and I didn't know that. But yeah, the lowest grade beef they serve is Prime, right. And they have Wagyu. They found out market price for American Wagyu for a 16-ounce steak was going to cost $125. And for an 8-ounce Japanese Wagyu, it was going to be $105 for an 8-ounce steak.
I mean, you're getting...
I did not. My steak...
Aww.
Man. So, I was under the impression I was paying for my meal. And, he had a buddy of his that was also in town that came down from Denver. There was a mutual person that a lot of people knew. They all used to work with that was retiring. So they came down here, and it says a lot about the person that former coworkers from Colorado, him and his girlfriend from Alaska, like all flew in, like people flew in from all over the country to go see this guy. And, so anyways, the guy that was from Colorado just decided to pay for the whole table. Probably $1,000 bill. I was not expecting that. So that was great, because I'd budgeted for it, but still hurts. Don't care how much money you make, it still hurts a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And nobody wants to spend I think I was already thinking my dinner was going to cost me about $120 before tip. And I was dressed appropriately. I get dressed up, to go to a place that costs, more than $100 a plate. And, yeah, he's just like, oh, yeah, I'm getting the bill. I was like, no, you're not. He's like, yeah, I am. I was like, the whole table. And he's like, yep, getting the bill. You guys said it'd come out. So I was like, all right. And, went to some place called Shuffles, which I'd never been to. It has a bunch of board games. And I can't remember the name of the board game. We played a board game and had brews, and that guy decided to pay for all of that, too. So I didn't spend shit last night except for gas, which that was not, I was in my head. I was like, yeah, I'm going to spend $150 tonight. And I was like, but I haven't seen this guy since his dad died back in 2018 or 2019. So, whatever.
Like the only other trip he's playing since then, he had to cancel.
Yeah. He left in 2015. I've known this guy since 2000. So, he's on Discord with us occasionally. He's played a lot of Helldivers with me recently. But yeah, he's a really good friend of mine, and I would have paid the price of entry no matter what we were doing. I don't know when the next time I'm going to see him is, I need to go see him at this point, because, he spent, I think he brought his girlfriend and his girlfriend's kid, and it was $1,500 a ticket. To fly down here, and they're only here for 4 days. So,
damn,
pretty expensive for them.
Yeah, but it's nice to see those guys that you don't get to see very often.
Yeah, so I spent Friday and Saturday night with him, just hanging out, because, he's back on a plane. I think he left Wednesday night at 11 o'clock at night. And then it's a 3-hour time difference. So he got here at about 2 in the afternoon. And then he was leaving at, like, 4 today. So he's probably on his connecting flight from Denver. And then he'll get in Anchorage at some time in the early AM. So I think he's going to get there at like 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning or something like that. But, So that's what I've been up to, is doing that and Me, I wasted a bunch of time on here. I had a photo I was shooting for another museum project. And yeah, I had some technical difficulties with trying to overlay images that I did. Did some focus stacking, which I didn't think about for a portrait, doesn't work exactly the same thing as a landscape. So getting transparent people is not what I was looking to do.
Yeah, we don't need to Marty McFly those guys. So
no.
That's no. That's what it was looking like. We were watching them actually do it. And it was like fading away. Back to the Future style. So
yeah.
It's okay. I got you.
Jason being the guy that edits all of our images and all of our digital images. I edit photos all the time, but I don't do the type of editing I do, and me and Jason do, is very different. I'm editing gradients and editing where light's going in a photo or the crop or whatever from something that I'd already shot. Whereas Jason's used to blending stuff and I'm not used to blending stuff. I did a simple focus stack the other night that I sent you guys of that same bench. And I did not think about how that was going to turn out if I was blending two separate images in that same way. Now I feel like an idiot. This is a paid job. I need to do good by him. And it's going on a vinyl, so I got to do good by him. But what are you guys going to do?
Me?
Yeah.
Losing more weight. Just like, just constantly losing weight. I don't even have to try anymore. It is quite crazy the amount of weight that I've lost in the last few months. I died. I have lost 86 pounds as of yesterday. I didn't check today, but 86 pounds is pretty crazy considering I went in for my surgery on January 10th. And the weather's been shit. So I haven't really been able to do a lot of stuff outside that I want to do. So it's crazy. Absolutely nuts. I have noticed quite a few things. Nothing fits. I had to do I had to dress up over the weekend myself. And I went to put my dress shirt on, and yeah, to say there was extra room in my dress shirt was an understatement. I could use it as a wingsuit. It was quite big. My old jacket was also quite big. So it was, I had ended up borrowing a sports jacket from somebody. He's like, yeah, I can't fit into this thing anymore. It's super tight on me. I mean, I technically could fit into it, and if I lost a little bit of weight, I could fit into it. But you're gonna be able to use it a lot more than I am. So, you can have it. I'm like, okay, it's a decent jacket. Just needs to be tailored because his arms are longer than mine. Goddamn gorilla. But still, we got that done. I went to Men's Warehouse and I have dropped about 6 sizes in my neck since I've done this. So that's saying something. Like that's a lot.
It's a lot.
So that is it's crazy. I'm still floored that this is actually happening to me as I'm sitting here sipping a Premier protein shake because I didn't want to throw up on the podcast. that still happens every so often. If I, you know, my eyes get the better of me and I say, yeah, I could probably have, six chicken nuggets when I really should only have four. Or something like that, you know? But alas, still a learning process. I'm still working it out, and it's fun times. Outside of that, man, it's been like business as usual as far as as far as the day to day is concerned. Work's always fun. People I work with is always fun. And I'm still counting down the days till I can drink again. Those bottles of wine are sitting over there staring at me going, you know, you wanna, and I'm like, I gotta be good. I really do. But, I have, not done, done much with the land. It's been a couple of weeks, but, I haven't really done much, with the land. I went over there and, planted my flag and it blew over because of the storms. So there's not much going on with the land right now. But yeah, I've kind of got an idea of what I want to do with it, but everything has been kind of slowed down, for the moment. So I'll do my homestead at some point.
That's a process.
I mean, that's all right.
And it's better to have money banked up for that type of shit, than, just like go at it willy nilly and just go super in debt. And there's a lot of people. I was reading online, the American people as a whole are more than half of mortgage holders are behind on their mortgage. That's staggering. And
I can probably happily say I'm not part of that percentage.
And I don't plan on being that part of that percentage either. But I'm worried because that is such a, it's a powder keg. This whole thing since COVID's been a powder keg for the housing market. And it's just been like, when is it going to break? It's not if, it's when. And when it breaks, there's going to be a lot of bad things happening. People being upside down in their mortgages and shit like that. And that is, that is not where I want to be.
That's true. It does have the potential to be worse than 08.
Yeah, I've been kind of patiently waiting for the past 5 years or so. Since this whole thing started, getting the land is, definitely a huge step forward. And if I slowly start to develop that land, then I don't think that's going to, it's going to be as painful as it would be if I decided to just go like, balls deep. Right. But there's also the possibility of me just going and trying to capitalize on this, on the teetering edge of this market. Drop something on it and then sell it and, banking everything that I can, put that away, invest it safely. And, then I'll have something to start with on a piece of land that actually does have internet. I was talking to the boss man, and I'm like, yeah, I can't get internet there. And he's like, go to Starlink. And I'm like, but latency, there's no way I'd be able to, game with Starlink. There's no way. And that's such a big thing for me. I need to have my internet and I need to have decent latency on that internet. I don't need to go out to space and back. So I'm like, I could get DSL, and the DSL around here sucks nuts. And like, if I just get the biggest package of DSL and I regulate what is actually hitting the internet, just basically my PC and nothing extraneous, like I don't need fucking smart bitch listening to me or controlling my lights or any of that bullshit, right? I just have it for my PC. I might be able to survive, but it was really painful, like super painful when I moved here. The DSL was just horrid. So I was like, what can I do? Well, we had just put in air fiber using Unify devices. We just put in air fiber into a couple places at work. And I was like, well... And he's like, yeah, well, we could do that. You would just need to have a antenna tower, you know, on your property, and you could just beam it across, you know, your little hometown about a mile and a half, you know, fairly straight shot as the crow flies, you know, and I wouldn't be too far away from my parents' place. So I could have that be the base station. Just pay them for the internet and have it beamed across using Unify's air fiber to a receive station at my place. It's better than Starlink. and the latency's not terrible. but damn. These are things that I am looking at as a solution to my internet problem, or I could just wait a couple years and they'll probably have fiber run that direction. Maybe. I don't know. It's rural internet, so who knows? These are the problems of an IT guy. You finally get a decent piece of land, but there's no internet to it, so you're like, oh, well, shit. Basically, you might as well make it a campground. It's totally rustic as far as I'm concerned.
It's basically barely fit for a tent at this point, right?
Well, I mean, there are places around here where people don't use the internet. Like, there isn't a need for good internet in a lot of these places. You know, I'm in a spot where a lot of people are outdoors people or old people or, you know, just generally not techie people. And, you know, that's a rural area. I mean, I'm surrounded by farmers and, you know, and people who, you know, do shit outdoors. I am the opposite. I do all of my entertainment in front of a screen. That's going to change somewhat this summer, but core root thing, I need to have internet no matter where I go. It's just for me, it's my sanity. It's my little escape. It's just harder to find in rural areas. It's even harder to find in northern Michigan, like, you know, across the bridge into the UP. There's plenty of land and plenty of houses up there, but I mean, the only reason why you'd want to live up there is so that you don't see another human being for another, you know, for weeks on end. Cause it's so sparsely populated up there. You gather at the grocery store once a week to get your provisions. And then you, then you go back to the homestead, and you fight off bears. It's a completely different culture. Sometimes I miss city living, because it was really nice to have a Zaxby's right on the corner, or, you know, be able to go to the, you know, go to the grocery store, have groceries delivered, for crying out loud. You know, these things that I miss around here. Yeah. But it's got its charms too, I suppose. Yeah, you have to rub a lot of dirt off of those charms, but you can find those charms somewhere. But yeah, that's pretty much me, man. I'm just surviving. Trying not to stay, you know, trying to alleviate my boredom. But yeah.
You been, Jason, up to anything?
What you been doing,
Jason?
I mean, other than, get on this photo for you right now. not much. I had a really boring week. I had a sinus infection.
Yeah, I did too. That's why I sound like this.
All last week. So I pretty much just, like, I come home from work, and about all I could muster was sit down and play the PGA golf game that I bought a couple years ago, EA's re-entry into that space. That realistically I only got because, you know, occasionally I would play that game on Xbox when I just needed chill. Playing it on my PC is much nicer looking. So, that's pretty much all I did all week. I mean, I was so, that sinus infection messed with my head so much that I even forgot to produce the last episode. So,
you got that.
Oops, sorry, you guys won't hear this until after we've already missed a week. But
oh well.
So that's been.
Yeah,
that's just kind of been me. Like I said, just really kind of sinus fucking suck.
Not boring, just uneventful. There's a difference. Uneventful is, you know, in my life, uneventful is bliss. It's absolute bliss. Give me an entire week where I don't have to do a damn thing. Or if I could just relax. I have not had that, but it seems like I haven't done a lot, but I do a lot of fucking paperwork behind the scenes, you know, with all of my extra obligations to do, you know, I've staring at a stack of papers that I've been putting off for a week. And I really should do them. But yeah, it's just a thing for me. Well, it's all,
I mean,
tied to the weather.
I have, I definitely have things that have to be done. Through. I have children. It's not done. Don't talk about the podcast.
Is it right?
Be interesting. It's just parenting.
Yeah, well, you know, it's, you know, for
yeah,
me,
unless it's funny, and then I share it.
Unfortunately, there's just hasn't been anything funny that's happened.
Like,
it's kind of good and kind of bad.
About the funniest thing I got is I walked in the door one day yesterday, and my youngest comes up to me and says, "Hey, Dad, did you know blind men can still see?"
What?
Said, "No, they're blind." He said, "No, hindsight's always 20/20.
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez. Oh, you got dad joked by your...
he heard that dad joke from some kid at school, and...
He got dad joked.
You know, it's on repeat in his brain right now.
Yep. Damn.
Not just dad joke, but that's kind of one of those so wrong it's hilarious dad jokes.
That's amazing. That's good. Good. Hey, kid with wit, right? You got to have that. Makes things more interesting.
Oh yeah, you definitely do.
Well, yeah. Has anybody been playing anything new?
Nothing new. I don't want to go first. I really. you're gonna hate me.
Any World of Warcraft?
Maybe.
Seriously?
I already know. You sent us the fucking picture, dude. He started a new WoW account.
There's so many things to play right now, too.
You would think.
My backlog is overwhelming.
None of them actually made me want to play them, though. That's the thing. Like, I started playing, I haven't finished Monster Hunter Wilds, but honestly, Monster Hunter Wilds is one of those games that you can come back to. And I'm kind of hoping that they do a pass on the heavy bow guns, because they definitely did heavy bow guns dirty in this particular this game. It just doesn't feel right. Like, it needs work. But that said, I was looking at other games to play, and I have really just been bouncing off of games lately. And so I started up Elden Ring because I thought maybe for sure that I was I would just go, go back into, playing a Souls game, because, that's kind of what I like those games now. It took me a long fucking time to get into them, but now I got it. But I feel like I've done Elden Ring to death. And I got into the same exact rhythm that I, had played that game before, doing a strength build. I did choose a different type of weapon this time with the axe, but it got super easy, super quickly, because I got it down and then I knew where to go. And it was just like, okay. I mean, if I got to the point where I did the DLC again, because I've only ever done the DLC once, then yeah, it would be challenging again. But I mean, I just couldn't get into it. I thought about other games that I'd put on the back burner, but none of them felt right. And then about right around this time of year, right around springtime, going into summer, where there's a big lull, I look at my MMOs again, and generally I play Final Fantasy 14, and Final Fantasy 14 has been good. It's a really good game. Like, it looks great, and it plays great, and I'm comfortable with the game. But I'm also max level character, and I have nothing to level, so there's really no grind for me to do outside of just doing the gear grind. And I am not a raider, nor do I want to be sweaty in any shape or form. So I was like, well, what do I do? Well, I could log into this game that I'm basically max leveled in. they could create a new character on that game, which is, you know, a couple years worth of content that I could just, you know, chew through again. But it's, again, it's like reading the same book story over a book series after you've just finished it. So do I really want to do that? And then I started looking at like Korean, you know, or, you know, Asian, you know, gacha games. And I'm like, oh, this is dangerous. Because like Genshin Impact and, you know, those things, they're basically, you know, microtransaction farms. And you know what happened with me and freaking Warframe. So anything that was Warframe like, couldn't do it. Just couldn't. You know, still trying to save up money, you know. And then I'm like, well, fuck. What do I do? I can't play my PlayStation because, you know, my buddy is going through an NCIS phase, and he's hogging the TV at the moment. And he doesn't want to play.
Your Alienware modder has two inputs. Just saying.
I don't want to have to move it from where it's at right now, and I'm okay with not playing anything on the PlayStation at the moment, because anything that would be on the PlayStation I could probably pick up for PC. I just have to buy it again. So ultimately it came down to what haven't I, you know, what do I want to do? And I said, okay, I'm going to do something that I'm going to regret. And I'm going to pick up a 1 month subscription to WoW. Just to, you know, like see if my old characters are there, my old account, you know, stuff like that, log into it, see what it's like. And you know, because games changed a lot, right? You know, I'm sitting here thinking, this is going to be like the old, you know, classic WoW, or that feeling again. And they've basically taken a lot of the stuff that came from Final Fantasy 14. They just looked at Final Fantasy 14 and a couple other MMOs, and they're like, yeah, we can incorporate those, you know, those mechanics, those types of things into our gameplay, and kind of modernize WoW in a way. So I said, all right, well, fuck it. $15 is nothing, right? You know, $15, 30 days, I'll be fine. And there's plenty of content to go through in that period of time. I'm not, you know, I stopped playing the game at Cataclysm, and there's been a lot of expansion since then. so and the game's changed, you know, faces a lot since then. So I'm like, okay, let's give it a go. And then that's kind of what I've been doing for the past couple weeks, is I've leveled a bunch of characters to, you know, to level 60, because that's, you know, get to, so actually level 70. So you get all the way up to level 70, you know, on the, you know, subscription if you don't pay, you know, buy the latest expansion. So it's been going through and doing that, just leveling characters. And it's been pretty fast. I get through a character in a couple days, which is kind of disappointing, but also, you know, it's, you have all of these different expansions that you can level it through, right? It's just scaled up to, you know, to get people to end game faster. So, all right, playing through these storylines, doing, you know, having a little bit of fun with it. And then I look at, you know, one of the new races, the Drakthyr. And of course, I'm a dragon dude. So it's like, okay, you know, it allows me to play a, you know, basically a dragon. I don't need a mount because I am my own mount. And I can fly because I've got wings. And I can breathe fire and all that jazz. So it immediately, you know, like captured my attention. And I was like, all right, fine, fuck it. So I bought the experience. and it comes with another 30 days for the game time. And I'm filling my time right now until the weather gets, you know, better or something else comes out that I really want to fucking play. But it's doing its job. It's filling up the time. I'm having a little bit of fun doing this. I'm not in a guild. I'm not going to raid. I'm doing everything solo. Basically the same, gaming philosophy that I took for Final Fantasy 14. There is no sweat. It is, I'm playing for fun and that is it. There's no way that I'm going to be like my coworker who, has his work schedule revolve around his raid time. That's not me anymore. So that's just the way how I play this game. I'm not married to it. Just like I'm not married to Final Fantasy 14. I take my breaks. I play other games. I do other things. Right. So it's just good fun. At about a $60 investment at this point, I'm not hurting, for games. Like I know Assassin's Creed came out and that game looks all right, but man, I just can't get into another Assassin's Creed game. I could go on to the, on this fucking thing. I can get on that soapbox before, but I just can't do Ubi anymore. So I don't care how much they try to freaking, how much they change. They have not been able to change enough. So that's where I'm at. As far as video games are concerned, it's going to be, I'm going to dabble in World of Warcraft and, I've still got an active sub to Final Fantasy 14, and if there's a game that actually, suits me, then by all means, I'll go and play that game. But it's been just comfy game for this point at this point until, the summer hits around, comes around. So yeah, that's where I'm at, man. I can say I like what I'm seeing so far, but I don't love the community of WoW. If I turn off all the channels, I decline all guild invites. It's like the people are toxic, but the game itself is all right. So
fair enough. I've been playing other video games, not World of Warcraft.
Aw.
I might have talked about it. Playing? Yeah, I might have talked about it last week, but I did get back into Death Stranding. And I've been, playing around with that, which is still fun, by the way. Gotten about a third of the way through. So pretty solid progress. I did dabble into a game called The First Berserker Kazan.
Oh yeah, I saw that come out too.
It is
how that worked out.
Pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Yeah. It's kind of like a Bloodborne style Souls game. You got to block though. You've got to parry. You've got to dodge. It's really brutal and. It's pretty difficult too, but it's cool. I haven't played enough of it to say like, do I definitively like this? But what I've played so far, I'm just kind of like, yeah, this is sweet. been playing a little bit. I play a lot. I say a lot. I don't know. 3 hours. Started playing a game called Dawnfolk. And this is a... What was that tile-based tactical game that we played a shitload of a couple years ago? So anyways, I'll explain.
Yeah.
You have your kingdom, right? It starts you off with the house. And you've got resources you have to gather. You have to gather light. You have to gather food and people. And basically that's it. And those, it's pretty simple in its in its setup, but kind of difficult in its execution. So you use light to explore the dark tiles around you. And then you create like houses or lumber yards or, you know, different tiles that create resources. And how you arrange those is the amount of those resources you get. And then, you know, each of those tiles use different amounts of resources. So it's kind of like a kingdom building strategy game where you have challenges of, like, say, was on a very, is it like an archipelago with some islands spread in between. So I didn't have a lot of land. So I was creating fishing boats to fish. And the tiles around the fishing boat is what it grabs from. And then I had pirates to fight. And when you fight the pirates, you click on it. And then you have to have so many people to fight. You've got a little mini game of like blocking cannonballs with a little shield. And based on how many cannonballs you block is how many people you keep in reserve. So to say you got to use 50 people to do this fight. If I successfully do the fight and block all the cannonballs, then I get like, I don't know, 2/3 of those people. Back. So it's a resource management game that's got a little bit of a story kind of going along with it. You light up the areas around you. Those areas sometimes have like some like dark storm that you have to vanquish with light. Anyways, you kind of have to see it in action. It's called Dawnfolk. It's really hard to describe because there's really nothing else like it. It was not very expensive. It is very addictive. And it is not incredibly hard. It kind of eases you into the strategy of how everything works together. I've had a lot of fun with it. Just playing that this morning before I had to go do my photo shoot stuff. And then I've been playing Dynasty Warriors Origins again. And that game is just dumb fun.
Yeah,
I haven't played a Dynasty Warriors game in a long time. I picked this up a couple months ago during the Steam sale. But it's just Dynasty Warriors, right? Like you go through, you got a big crowd of people you got to fight, and then you got a boss in the middle of that that you have to fight, and you've got to like dodge and parry and use special attacks to defeat the boss, and that lowers the morale of the soldiers, and then you continue to push, and then you're getting like skill ups and level ups in between everything. It's a big old spectacle fighter. It's not the prettiest game, but it runs incredibly smooth. Like, stupid smooth, max FPS, etc. Like, Dynasty Warriors is pretty good dumb fun. If you're looking for something to do while you're doing something else, it's, like, perfect for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
What about you all?
I mean, yeah, that's, I don't know, man, it's been kind of like, just waiting for shit, you know, I don't know. Yeah, it's just a really weird time for video games, you know, and that is that's kind of the consensus at the moment as far as, you know, there's maybe one or two games, you know, that comes out in this period of time within the next like couple months. And, you know, Monster Hunter Wilds was supposed to actually be like the game, right? You know, and it's a good game, but boy, do they need to actually like, you know, rework the top end, because right now, there is only one monster that you're going to want to fight. Maybe two. But honestly, it comes down to fighting the same monster in Monster Hunter Wilds over and over and over again for grind, you know, to grind out decorations and the mats to make the stuff, like game weapons, you really only have one monster, and that's the Arkfeld monster. And you do the tempered Arkfeld over and over and over again. And that gets old. Really, it gets old real quick. If they made a tempered frenzy of those monsters, of those monsters, like of the monster pool, like the bigger monsters, they make a tempered frenzy of all of those and give it, give them similar loot tables at the top end so that there's more monster variety to fight, then I think that would make things a whole lot easier, to deal with, because right now everybody's basically farming just that one monster, and I have his moveset down, it's crazy. It's nuts. It's a fun fight, but when you've fought it like 50 times, it's old. So part of the magic of Monster Hunter is the variety, like the different monsters, the different movesets, and having fun with it. So yeah, that's one of the main reasons why I've dropped that, dropped that off to this, side for right now. It's probably going to get some work over the next couple months, but I can't grind it right now. Just between that and tech, in general right now, people are coming up to me and asking me whether or not it's a good time to build a PC. And I'm like, it's about the same thing right now as the housing market. Stay the fuck away from it.
Yeah, because I keep going back and looking to see if I want to upgrade the chip. And I'm just like, no, I don't really want to.
I mean, the CPUs, like if you're trying to get the top end AMD CPUs on the market, that there's a big shortage on that. I don't know what the fuck the deal is, but man, that is not easy to find right now. We're having fun trying to find those parts just for work. And then I'm also looking at, video cards and all of the news that I've gotten from the video card, keeping tabs on video card news. It's not been good for Nvidia. Like, yeah, they've got a halfway decent card. It's overpriced by a lot. And now
you can't tell me that, that the cost increase for the silica, etc., for the wafers went up enough that from 30 series to 40 series, the top end card doubled in price.
It's not that. It's they're doing, we're hitting a diminishing returns in our current, in current technology. And what we're looking at, and I'm not a freaking circuit board engineer. I'm just, a halfway intelligent dude that's looking from a consumer standpoint. I can tell you right now, what they're trying to do with current video cards is the complete fucking opposite of what they really should be, thinking about. They're trying to push more power through smaller wires, which is causing heat issues, which is causing those things to burn up, and they haven't learned their lesson from the previous generation. You know, they need to drop the freaking, power connector, standard. And, right now, video cards are only getting faster because they're pushing more power through it. And that's, I'd wager to say that our current state of video cards, the 5000 series NVIDIA video cards is about as much as you can put through a video card by itself. I mean, if you look back 10 years, what our 5000, like the 5090 video card is pulling in, and as far as wattage is concerned right now, is what would power an entire computer 10 years ago. So you're going to have problems. You're not going to be able to plug in a PC to a normal wall outlet. If things continue on the same trend, because your house circuitry, you'd have to have a circuit just for your fucking video for your computer. I mean, with the amount of power it's trying to pull. When you turn
I don't
on
think
the
there's enough
in the light dim, there's a problem.
Well, here's my thing, right? There's at this point, both the 40 series and the 50 series cards, the issue's not even necessarily the silicon cost. What gets me the most is, yes, we're approaching diminishing returns, and that's why NVIDIA is shifting to implementing more and more AI cores and AI frame generation, etc., right, to help boost that. But you can't tell me that if I spend that for the $1,000, $1,200, $1,400, whatever I would spend on a 5080, because there's no way you're getting them at MSRP.
Yeah.
That there's not enough margin there to give me more than 16 gigs of video RAM.
Yeah.
And help these cards not to struggle to do all of this. Because the thing with all of the AI features is, okay, we don't need DDRX 7 RAM on these graphics cards.
Right.
Instead of giving me 16 gigs of that, because DDR6 is fast enough to run these models. That's what all these AI farms are doing with 3090s that had DDR6 RAM. And just give me, instead of giving me 16 gigs on a 5080, give me 24 gigs of DDR6 on the 5080 and let the card breathe. Because a lot of the issues that the 40 series and 50 series are running into, and this is indicative of AMD's 7000 and now 9000 cards, is that these AI features and these frame generation features are eating up more of the VRAM. Just give it enough VRAM to process these things, and these cards wouldn't be the letdowns that they are.
Well, they're letdowns in a completely different way too, because even though they have the higher bandwidth, DDR standards on the newer cards, A lot of those cards are hogtied by the, you know, by the VRAM amount, like you were saying. Well, for you to be able to get a card that's going to last for a period of time, like you're looking at a card that you pick up once and then you can wait a couple generations. You can only really do that with the top of the line, and the top of the line is not available anymore. I mean, you're going to get scalped like crazy. So, you know, if you don't get a 5090,
they're or like
even a 5080,
they're like 500,000 cards short right now.
Yeah. There's, if you don't get an, if you don't get a 5090 or a 5080 or something that has, at, you know, at least 16 gigs of, you know, VRAM or more, you're going to have a hard time actually playing games coming up, because, you know, games are going to chew up even more VRAM over time. It doesn't matter how fast it loads that shit in there if it doesn't have enough space to load it, you know? So it sucks because people are like, oh, well, I can just deal with like a 5070 Ti or, you know, or something like that and just be all right. But when you start looking at, you know, 8 gigs of VRAM, you're not getting anywhere. And it's kind of counterintuitive. So yeah, there's going to be a, you know, it's just like the housing market, the video card market's at a breaking point. And while I'm not an analyst and I am not an expert, in that regard, I can tell you from personal experience that, if you was buying a 5000 series card right now and you're buying anything other than a 5080 or 5090, the longevity of your investment is in question, because as games come out and start chewing through that VRAM, you're going to experience roadblocks. So there's a lot of shit going on in the chip market right now. And that is, it's disappointing all around. But it'll break. There's going to be a moment, but what we really need, is we need an AMD style comeback, in the chip market. AMD did a really good job coming back into the CPU market after being basically dead for a while. And they just need to come, you know, they need to go hard on their GPUs as well. If they can get, if they can bolster their GPU market and actually rival NVIDIA, and get some healthy competition in there, then we as, you know, computer enthusiasts, gamers, whatever, are going to be able to have a choice between AMD or NVIDIA for, you know, and have it be a meaningful choice. You know, right now, AMD's kind of lacking, lacking in power, when it comes to gaming. It has its place, but it's always been kind of like a budget friendly place, and that's not where it needs to be. It needs to be in performance. So, yeah, and Intel, they've got time. They've got to put a whole lot more effort into their shit.
Yeah, they do.
Those arcs are suck. They suck. but yeah, I mean, just a weird time. Like everything about 2005, 2025, is just a weird time. Like this is, it's super volatile right now. Like everything in the, you know, we're looking at the possibility in the future of like not having consoles in the future, and everything going to basically kind of like a Steam box, for the future. It's just a PC that hooks up to your television. You know, it's mind blowing where shit's going at the moment. So it's kind of, kind of sitting at the razor's edge of shit right now. And we're trying to see which way it's going to fall because, I like my PC. I also like being able to sit in a very comfy chair and, play games on a controller. And I don't have Justin set up. So I don't get to sit back with my 70-inch TV with my controller in my hand and play fucking Elden Ring on my big big screen.
It is nice.
Sitting there next to Lola Pup curled up next to him.
Oh, I don't either. I will occasionally play something on the 60-inch 4K LED in my bedroom. Not an OLED, just good old LED.
Yeah.
But I only do that with certain games because it is a cheaper TV and the refresh rate really sucks. I mean, it maxes out at 60 in game mode.
I was playing Call of Duty on, on a, $150 television that I picked up at Walmart. I'm not going to be a snob when it comes to that. It's the fact that I was able to kick back on my couch.
You know what? Now that I'm older and my reaction times are slightly slower, whenever I'm playing a faster paced game, I do appreciate the higher refresh rate on my monitor.
Yeah, well, my monitor, I understand.
My monitor moves more than twice as fast as my TV does.
I mean, yeah. So don't do what I did. And, DDU your graphics drivers and then forget to turn the refresh rate back up on your monitors.
That would suck.
See how I was troubleshooting an issue with, with shit just crashing. And of course I got the crash to not happen anymore after I DDU'd, the drivers. But since Monster Hunter Wilds came out, like within the first week of Monster Hunter Wilds came out, I had to do that. I've been running at 59.98 refresh rate. I was having a blast. Everything was frame capped. I was wondering why everything was just, I could tell that it was, frame capped. But man, I said, like, this used to be a whole lot smoother than this. What the fuck? This tunnel, wham, I checked, and my refresh rate has been turned down, and my G-Sync on both of my monitors had been turned off. And I'm like, well, that's the problem. Turn it on, night and day different. Now, World of Warcraft is butter smooth. Because it used to be you could play World of Warcraft on a fucking potato. A little less these days, but still. I could still probably run like four instances of this game at the same time if I wanted to.
Oh, yeah. It's not been upgraded that much.
It looks good-ish.
It's
a 21-year-old game,
and it still looks like 20 years old.
The newer zones don't look too bad.
Yeah, but they've not gone back and redone any of the old zones. Not really.
Nobody goes to the old zones anyway.
Well,
I mean, that's just the real, nobody really goes back to the old zones unless they want to do like the lore master achievements and shit like that. So achievement hunters, there's maybe like two people in Burning Crusade right now.
But what is WoW without those old zones? I mean, well, But then again, I guess I am speaking from like a dinosaur's perspective when it comes to gaming. But
oh, it's already up to a point now because WoW has been out for so fucking long that you kind of have to watch a movie to get caught up with all the lore shit that happened. Like, you don't need all the little side quest shit, but if you wanted to catch up and find out what the fuck is actually like the main thing, there's a like a 20 or 25 foot 25 minute movie that just hits like the high points of this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened, you know, and then people go like way deeper and like go into character, you know, character bios and shit like that. But still, I had to watch a bit of a video just to get up to that point so that I didn't know what the, you know, so I didn't walk into this and be like, what the fuck happened? You know, when I, you know, when I stopped playing the game, Thrall had just stepped down as the war chief. And apparently there has been three war chiefs since then, three or four war chiefs since then. So I'm like, okay, what happened here? So it's just like there's a lot of shit. But I mean, if you were a new player in Final Fantasy 14, you had to play through all of that shit. So there's pluses and minuses to that. Like if you wanted to actually get to end game content in Final Fantasy 14, you have to sit there and play like 150 hours for the old content. yeah, I mean, apples and oranges, but still, it's how these game makers, these developers have actually made the game a little more accessible or less accessible, depending on how you want to see it. Like, you are totally up to speed if you play Final Fantasy 14 and you get to the end game because you've experienced all of it. But you kind of are like shoved off into the new playground in World of Warcraft, and you have to look up the lore if you care about that type of shit. And to be fair, only a handful of people that play WoW actually play it for the lore. So nobody reads the quest text. But anyway,
that's true.
Is it time for a break?
I think it's time for a break.
Yeah, I think it's time.
All right.
We'll be back. We're back.
Are we though?
We are. And it is late for us. This is not, we're not in our 20s anymore doing this. Yeah.
No, instead we're in our insomniatic 40s.
I've been doing some form of work all day. Let's see.
That's okay. I feel like I'm 20 again playing WoW. So
yeah, no kidding. You guys remember Game Informer?
Yeah.
Remember?
They had to close down like middle of last year.
Yeah. They sure did. Well, they're back from the dead.
Wait, what? No way.
Yeah. So the website reappeared along with old articles, and a letter from the editor-in-chief, Matt Miller, says not only would the print magazine return, but every employee who's laid off will come back to work on it.
Well, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So my question then is, what changed? Like,
they got a new owner. It's not owned by GameStop.
Oh, so somebody fucking just bought that shit out and is like, yeah we're going to bring that back right now.
Yep. It's revived by a game developer called Gunzilla. It's co-founded by the director Neil Blomkamp from District 9. And former Warface lead. I'm not sure what Warface is. called named Alex Zoll. They're making some free-to-play shooter right now. So, but they revived Game Informer. Just new owner. But I guess they bought everything. Not really sure about the game. It's called Off the Grid. It's a company. Let's see. So Gunzilla's first game is a free-to-play shooter called Off the Grid. The company is also in a blockchain business. Its blockchain platform is called Guns, empowers game developers with the tools to build player-driven economies by providing players full ownership of in-game assets as tradable NFTs. What? Said the, but said Game Informer will have editorial independence of the game developer. But yeah. So aside from restoring the old articles, they have published new reviews of games released while it was in limbo and registered for an account with the site. Gives users access to digital copies of more than a decade of past Game Informer magazine issues. So they rehired everybody. I guess they got it from GameStop and they've revived it. It's interesting because that's been around, I want to say it referenced about 35 years.
I mean, it's been around since the very late 90s that I remember.
Huh. Yeah, no, I used to go look forward to those magazines because they were basically the only magazines that I really like. I got
they were out before the internet was
new power.
Yeah, they were out before the internet was much of a thing.
Yeah, I had Nintendo Power, but I mean, I did read, you know, Game Informer magazine because it had a lot of, you know, a lot of good information in it. And a lot of times, I mean, you know, during the golden days of like demo discs and shit like that, you would get those with your Game Informer, which was like the shit. But also, it's like you got some in-depth knowledge. Like they did, they were doing interviews with game developers before fucking YouTube did it. So it was the way to find out what was coming up. Like, and yeah, I mean, the problem, you know, problem these days is that you can get a lot of this stuff online, right? You know, and that's where, you know, print media and all its forms is having problems. But there's something to be said about having the actual fucking magazine. And I had a subscription to Game Informer for a long time. And it was probably the only thing I actually cared about in the mailbox. Everything else was a bill or somebody trying to sell me something. But man, Game Informer was like, It was a staple in the shitter because you need to have something to read, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and you know, back when I was doing stuff, at my old job, somebody had a subscription to Game Informer. They would bring it in and leave it in the break room. Of course, they like cut their address, you know, the address box out of the, you know, out of the back cover. But yeah, it was like it would just drop that stuff in there, so there would be months and months of Game Informers that you could just sit there and read on your break if you wanted to.
Yeah,
it was I'm glad to see it come back. It was kind of one of those those news stories a couple months ago that just sucked. It was like, yeah, okay, well, this is the, you know, sign of the times, you know, it's like another thing, you know, another one bites the dust. But hey, if it comes back and is successful, great. I'm not sure about, I gotta say thanks to Gunzilla, I guess, but Man, I've heard of the developer, but I've never really thought that they would get into print media. So, all right. It's a small crew, too. Just looking at their website.
Yeah, I didn't know how small.
Hey, whatever. Hey, if they can bring it back even for a little bit, and actually, the saddest part about the whole the whole thing with Game Informer is that they didn't even get a sign off. You know,
no, they just cut them off.
They were in the middle of actually doing something, and they just cut them off. So, if it gives them the opportunity to finish their projects. And go on for a little bit longer and eventually get a proper sign off. I mean, I'll feel okay with that as far as like closure is concerned.
It would still absolutely,
still suck, but I mean, it sucks. It sucks a whole lot less than being like, told, yeah. You don't get to acknowledge all of the work that you put into it over the years, and you just no longer have a job. Bye. So that's good news. I feel good about that. Now you're gonna share something that's gonna shatter my soul, right?
Well, so there's been some DDoS attacks on WoW servers, in particular.
I heard about this.
Hardcore servers.
Yep.
And they never do rollbacks, but they decided to do a rollback because it wiped all the characters.
Well, yeah.
They all died.
The hardcore realms, like the hardcore classic realms, is what was going on here. And there's a massive guild that... that does the hardcore raiding. They do, they're a bunch of streamers, and they're, they ended up having issues while they were raiding and it seemed like it only would happen while they were raiding. The servers would get massive DDoS attacks to the point where it would lag them out enough that during a boss encounter, it would kill characters. And when you're looking at classic WoW, there's 40 people in a raid. And if a boss encounter goes wrong, all 40 people die. And when on the hardcore servers, that's it. I mean, that's your character gone. Right. So I can't for the life of me remember the guild name. It's in the story though. God damn. It's slipping me. I'll look it up. But yeah, that whole guild, like basically the majority of the population of classic WoW, hardcore was going to quit. And it was like, There's no reason for us to continue at this point if Blizzard can't control the DDoS attacks and allow and preserve their characters. Like these people would find places and log out so that they wouldn't die. But yeah, I mean, Blizzard had to roll back for the first time ever. They rolled back character deaths just so that this guild wouldn't quit. Yeah.
Well, in other news, all of us, well, two of us liked Indiana Jones. There is a PS5 release coming out in April.
When's that?
Yeah, in April.
No, April. I think he couldn't hear over my laugh.
Oh, Indiana Jones is coming out on April 17th. Oh. They're still waiting to fully confirm it, but that's what they're planning to do.
So that's coming out in April for what?
PS5.
PS5.
We didn't hear what game it was.
There we go. It was Indiana Jones. I got that part.
Oh, okay.
But I was like, okay. Hey, so, I mean, it needs to go on PS5. Like, that game would actually be fun on PS5 now that I think about it. Like, if I sit, if I was to sit down and not be at my computer and play that game in a comfy chair on a controller, I could see that. I could see that, because that would be more of like a movie going experience for me instead of trying to to play a game.
It's like playing through God of War on the PS5, right?
Huh? Similar.
More of a cinematic experience like God of War Ragnarok was, right?
Well, I liked God of War. I liked both the God of War games. They were kind of a little too RPG, but still, I mean, the combat was fun. Angry Kratos is angry. But just for me, there's some games that play better relaxed, and then some games that play better on PC. Like, I could never experience, I don't think I could get a proper experience for an MMO on a console, even though that they exist. I feel like you get the best experience with a keyboard and mouse and all the options that you have there. But some games that are more cinematic are more story based feel better kicked back in a comfy chair, and that is, and that's one thing that I hope that in the future, in our, dystopian no console future, that they still continue to do, is they still recognize that some games are something that you want to kick back and relax on, on the couch or or in your Lazy Boy or whatever, and be able to experience those with a controller.
And that's why you just run a long HDMI cable from your PC to your TV and chill out.
Or
with, like, a controller.
Like, I'm
I can get the console experience on my TV.
Yeah, I totally see. I've been doing just this saying. For the better part of a decade.
Yeah, I get that, but I don't have that luxury where I'm at right now. That's just the way it is. But if I had more control over my situation, in which I had my shit hooked up, then yeah, maybe. But I prefer a clear separation between the two, because I do like my keyboard, mouse, my ultra wide monitor set up for my computer, for my computer.
You can have both.
But if I had more control over the entertainment setup, I'm in a little fucking, I'm basically in a closet down, in a basement downstairs. Okay.
I can see where Rusty's going with this. When you're in a situation like he is, where you're, where you don't have the freedom or the ability to run a long HDMI cable or even a fiber optic HDMI cable from a PC to a TV, and be able to have more remote. Be able to afford and set up or have a more remote keyboard and mouse option like what you have, since you have everything in living room, Justin, with a KVM or something, then it's nice to separate the two with a separate machine, so that you're not having to um, um, to travel from one room to another to change a display setting or whatever else.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly like you can build a small form factor entertainment PC that also plays games to put near TV versus console. With the console, you're saving at least, almost the price of the console itself to buy the console versus a second PC. So I get where he's going.
Yeah,
I get where he's going.
It's it will be better over time, and that's just a consequence of where I'm at right now. If I had my own option, it would be it'd be actually fairly simple for me to to set this up as a centralized set my PC my main PC up as a centralized gaming setup. And be able to do it, Linus Tech Tip style, if I wanted to, to run USB over fiber or whatever, fuck, I could do all of that. I've got the know-how to get that shit done. It's just, I don't own the space that I'm in right now. So, so I can't make those decisions. I'm doing the best I can with what I've got. That's what I'm trying to say. That's the thing. What were you doing?
Well, there was, we were watching the Nintendo Direct reveal for Metroid Prime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's all right. Not enough to make me want to buy another console right now, though.
I'm gonna be real with you. I'm not sure where my Switch is anymore. I have pulled my Switch out for a maximum of 5 minutes in the last 4 years. And I don't know where I put it. It's in here somewhere, I'm sure. It's probably in my closet in one of the totes where I stash all of the things that I don't generally use all that time, all that often. But I'm not going to go dig it out for fucking, for this. Honestly, if Nintendo had gotten off their ass and had a good cadence for these games, and actually got it built when, for me, the Switch was relevant, then, yeah, I'd be more more excited for it. You know what I want from Metroid Prime 4 now? I just want it to be ported to PC. I know it's going to look like ass. It's going to look like a fucking, Switch game. But at this point, I just don't, want to have to, to play it on a handheld. Nintendo is dead to me as far as I'm concerned. Because they haven't been keeping up with hardware. They're barely holding on for their games. There hasn't really been anything of note that I've really wanted to play on any of their things. All of their IPs are super fucking light, are super locked down to the point of like anal retentiveness. Their legal team is basically making them money by fucking suing people. And they don't respect their player based community, especially the content creators that make shit, about their games, because they constantly annoy the fuck out of them to a degree that those content creators have essentially said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not even going to waste my time recording a bit about, a Nintendo game, because they're just going to try to take that shit down. So they're shooting themselves in the foot, left, right, and center, and they have just, they've just fallen by the wayside, as you know, their relevance is meaningless at this point. I feel like
it is for people like you, me, and Justin. But if the Switch has taught us anything, it's that no matter what occurs, no matter if Nintendo's next Switch, the Switch 2, or whatever they're going to call it, meets the same graphical or performance standards that the Series X or the PS5 Pro have set, there is a large market of families, younger millennials, older Gen Zers, that will buy it no matter what for what I lay out as the three Apple-esque tendencies.
What do you
mean? That is, it's the ecosystem they're used to, or B, they are complete Nintendo shills and will never change that. C, they will purchase it and buy into the Nintendo ecosystem even further because they believe that Nintendo has set up an ecosystem that is much safer for their family, which in my experience with all of it is somewhat true. You know, Nintendo does have more family safe safeguards than PlayStation. Now, are there safeguards better than Xboxes and Microsofts? No, not really. Those two are both on par with each other when it comes to that. Does Nintendo limit their game offering for, you know, 80-90% of their library being much more family friendly? They absolutely do. And it absolutely limits their library. And there are certain publishers and developers they will never work with. So in my mind, that limiter is, in my mind, a negative. The only reason I own any Switch at all is because I've literally got them basically secondhand for almost nothing compared to retail cost of new, right? And I we own very few games. I think I own 6 titles total. But I mean, that's it. The vast majority of the Nintendo audience now is very similar to the Apple user base.
So I get that, and I also say that it's not. There's other shit that limits, you know, what's on Nintendo. It's not just the family friendly shit. That is one thing that they want to.
Oh no, but that's the guys that they use publicly, right?
Well, they want to be the Disney of video games, and as far as exactly. I'm concerned, that's up to them. But the real limiter for what's actually available on Nintendo is Nintendo's own hardware. And that has to do with A, the power of the, that it's available on the Switch, or any other handheld that they decide to go with. And B, the fact that the Switch is the Switch. It's always been their curse since the Wii. They have always done something different, which is fine. I get that. And there's nothing wrong with doing something different in the, in today's day and age. But when you have a control scheme that is as unique as what is in a Switch or a Wii or a Wii U or all those, everything else that's come before it right now, after the GameCube, really, you alienate the developers themselves because
I agree. I'm all for their controller design from the standpoint of I do enjoy the separation ability and being able to use them in different configurations, whatever. But I can agree that the one thing that stops developers from developing for it that I think they just need to get rid of is motion control. I 100% agree. But then they lose a large chunk of their audience by eliminating the sports tiles, Switch Sports or Switch Fit, whatever.
I don't think so.
They need to put in a system that allows developers to disable motion control.
It is in a spot right now where even if they decided to reduce that, we've known that we've needed a more powerful Switch for years, and it hasn't happened. In the process of that, freaking Steam Deck comes out and basically wipes the floor, with the idea of handheld gaming, and is like, yeah, we're the fucking kings now. And look, it's not a perfect solution, but it's a whole lot better than what the Switch is able to do.
I agree. I don't want the Switch limiting principle.
It's just,
and I would love it if Nintendo would commit to, publishing the titles for PC. I mean, they're using an NVIDIA XOC. It's not like they can't, like it can't be done.
It's happened before. Like, games like, Monster Hunter Rise, for instance, was one of them that was a Switch port to PC. Another Monster Hunter game, Monster Hunter Stories 2, developed for Switch, ported to PC. You can tell, because those games are not super fidelity, very high fidelity in their textures. The gameplay's there, but boy, you could tell it was developed for a Switch. And I think that right there is it kills titles. It absolutely kills titles because the developer has to dumb their game down graphically and in complexity to be able to fit onto the Switch, just to have now coming to Switch in their fucking, in their bylines. So, it's just, I'm disappointed, and I've been disappointed in Nintendo since the GameCube. The GameCube, in my opinion, was the last one, last good Nintendo console. And even that had its limitations. But it was the last, last good one, in my opinion. And people could be, can disagree with me. That's fine. I am not a big Pokemon player, so therefore I don't fall into that trap. It comes down to, I want to play Metroid because Metroid is good. I remember Metroid from Super Nintendo days and the GameCube days where the fucking Metroid Primes were, and I had fun with those. But I'm not going to go to their current ecosystem to go back and, experience Metroid Prime. Doesn't matter how great they decide to, sell that shit to me. I don't want to play it on the Switch. I just don't. And because it is a Nintendo owned IP, it's never going to leave the Switch ecosystem. And I'm just going to have to be okay with not playing Metroid Prime 4. That's just the way it is. No matter how much I think it sucks. It's just the way it is. And I'm probably not going to be able to see a whole lot of, a whole lot of content or content creators out there doing much with Metroid Prime 4 because they're too fucking, afraid of the Nintendo lawyer system. And I have fundamental problems with how that company runs and how it treats its audience. It's, instead of, bringing up and actually showcasing content creators and acknowledging the free publicity, they would much rather spend their money to try to fucking like lock their IPs down to the point where it's no longer even worthwhile to deal with it anymore. So I'm done with Nintendo. I'm going to move on.
Well, speaking of moving on, Ubisoft is carving out their top games unit.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to carve out a unit including Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, and Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six into a subsidiary with an enterprise value of about $4.3 billion. Tencent is investing $1.6 billion to acquire 25% stake in the new entity.
Of course.
So.
Because Tencent has to have their hands in everything.
I mean, Ubi's got to figure out how to make money since they keep making the same games for basically the last 15 years.
So basically, they're carving out the portion of their company that makes the same games over and over and over again. What's the traditional Ubi going to do?
Never innovate? No.
Come on.
No.
Man. You think they're going to actually innovate? You think they're going to come up with some new way of doing things? Come on.
Nah, ultimately, it'll just be the same because the corporate overlords will always make the same cost savings. I will say suggestions with air quotes.
It's, I mean, I can see what they're going for, but they really, and I've said this multiple times on the show before, Ubi just needs to like go back to just making something new. If Ubi could learn anything, it would probably be taking in and learning from some indie developers and be like, this is a good idea. And not just, you know, and then not trying to make that a formula. That's the problem with Ubi, is that they've got a formula and they haven't changed from that formula. Bethesda is very similar. They have a formula and they don't want to change from it. But Ubi is, I mean, when you can say, ah, this is a Bethesda game, or ah, this is an Ubi game, you know exactly what you're looking at. you know exactly what the game's going to be. You know, a Bethesda game is, you can pick up a fucking, you know, straight, you know, a paperclip on the fucking ground, and it's in its own object. I can fill up a spaceship full of cheese blocks, and they all exist in my world. And Ubi, there's always a tower, there's always a collectathon, and the story is second to either the collectathon or the towers, or in, you know, more recent things, the microtransactions that get you there. So I could not enjoy any of the Ubi games that I have actually played in the last couple years.
I haven't enjoyed an Ubi game in a very long time. Assassin's Creed Origins is pretty decent.
That's one out of like the last four or five pieces of almost complete trash.
I know.
I tried Origins and I couldn't get into it. And I think it was because I was expecting the I was expecting not what it was. You know, that was more of like an ARPG with Assassin's Creed flavoring, right? With all the, you know, with the, you know, the different gears and gearing, and the fact that, like, you know, they use the WoW coloring system for the drops and shit like that, right? It felt very Neo-ish. Yeah. Because I did play about a half an hour of that game too. it was just like everything had a drop and it was randomized and there was microtransactions so that you could skip shit.
So the only other thing that I had was that Lies of P has a DLC coming out.
Yeah, I saw that.
So it's about 15 to 20 hours of additional content to the game, and it's being worked into the game. So I don't know exactly how that plays out. But yeah, they are just working in some ideas that they had cut and then some feedback they'd gotten from fans to create some new content, basically. Really like that game. I finished it pretty hard.
More of a parry system, right?
Yeah, the dodge is ass.
Lies of P was really good.
Yeah, the dodge is really bad. So it runs out. You don't dodge far. It's really just getting out of the way of a completely unblockable attack. And you don't use it very often. The parry system's pretty easy to master, so that's what you do.
Okay. Well, that is on the it was on Game Pass and I missed it. It came off of Game Pass. So I'm hoping with the new DLC it'll come back on Game Pass again. But if it's not, then, you know, I'll probably wait for a sale for it. I didn't see it at a reasonable price, and I was also kind of like holding my purse. I was pinching all the pennies when the last sale came through. So we'll see what the summer sale looks like.
There's a spring sale going on right now, or was going on.
It was.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot about that.
I couldn't. Yeah, I didn't see it. I picked up Neo on the Neo 2 on the spring sale, but it was like 15 or 20 bucks or something like that. And I just, yeah, I didn't have.
Well, I'm also going to play a little bit more Adam Fall. I started playing that.
But Summer Sale will be a little bit different.
Yeah, I'm going to play a little bit more Adam Fall. That's out on Game Pass right now. I just started doing that. But I haven't gotten through enough to really talk about it. There's not a lot actually coming out in April. Like, you know, there's a Last of Us remaster, Last of Us 2. It comes out on PC on April 7th, but that's the one I don't like. It's a remaster, which I don't even understand. It already looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Katamari, Damacy Rolling Live. Oh, that's Apple Arcade. Who gives a shit about that? Days Gone remastered on PS5. Forza Horizon, so not a lot. And then Dune Awakening, that's the MMO that you pay once for. And Onimishi 2 comes out on May 23rd. So that's probably the next thing I'm looking forward to. And then I might try out Elden Ring, Nightreign. And then in June, Death Stranding on the Beach 2 comes out June 26th. And System Shock 2 25th Anniversary Remaster. So I've got a lot on my plate anyway to play. So I'm not really that sad. I've got a lot of stuff to do. Oh, Doom the Dark Ages, yeah. May 15th. So, anywho's.
Yeah, Doom's going to be like a week or two worth of play, I'm pretty sure. It'll be a fun week or two, but that's just the way that's been for me.
In the meantime, you really should try out Kazan, the first Berserker. That and Dawnfolk's pretty good. And Dust Warriors is pretty good so far. So, you know. There's some things to do, and then maybe I can get back in the mood to play Kingdom Come Deliverance too. But
I've been thinking about it, but I don't know if that's the speed of game that I want to play. It tends to be a slower game. You kind of have to travel everywhere.
It's got fast travel after you discover things.
Okay, well, having to create potions to save is also another thing that I was like. Okay.
That part's kind of weird. Yeah, it's a little weird. But I think we're good. Jason, where can you find us?
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/tiltcastshorts. And find us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find friends of the show. You got Picking Up the Pixels or Pupcast and TVGP.TV. They like RPGs just like us. And with that, it's the end of the show.
All right, guys. Peace.